Hello and welcome to the Inner Take podcast. My name is Ramon Gardella and I'm your host. The Inner Take is a podcast for musicians, a space to talk about what happens inside us when we make music, the thoughts and feelings that shape how we play. I will share my experience as a musician, what I've learned along the way, and I will talk to other musicians about their journey. This podcast is not about technique, it's about what happens inside us when we make music. So, if you are a musician, stay right there. Welcome to The Inner Take. Let's begin. Hello, everybody. Hello, everyone. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being there listening to The Inner Take podcast. This is a new episode, and today I'm alone. I think I was the last 2 weeks or three maybe, which I didn't record an episode myself, and I was organizing the interviews and interviewing people. So if you haven't done yet, I really recommend you to go back and listen to the interview, the wonderful interview I did with Patricia Pinheiro. This was a very special episode where we talked about creativity, where Patricia talked about her story, which is extremely hard and extremely inspiring, what she did with music, what she does with music. And there was so much feedback and so many messages from people that felt something there and from people who said, great talk, thanks for talking about this. Patricia can put the things in the right words, the thoughts in the right words. So it was a pleasure to talking to her, and I really recommend you to listen to this episode. Today I want to look behind what I did with the Inner Take podcast. I want to do a summary of what has happened so far, because since I started doing this podcast, which was in March 2026, it's like 2 months, 3 months ago, I've realized there is a lot of information, and I wanted to do it every week, so every new episode every Sunday, so once a week. And this is a lot for me, because there is a lot of information and there is not always enough time to process it. And with my musical activity and all the things that I'm doing, teaching, playing, traveling, preparing concerts, auditions, I don't always have enough time to understand the process and bring the ideas and knowledge from the podcast into real life. So, and I don't want that this is like a theory that you listen but you cannot apply in real life. So I know that when people listen to the podcast, mostly they feel connected or it rings a bell. So you said, okay, I understand this. It happens to me. It has happened to me. And I really want the podcast and the ideas to be part of the musical life, to help people to that you can apply things there. I'm talking here, or their guests of the podcast are talking here, like how to manage a project, things that Patricia talked last time, and that you can apply it to your life. Because for me, the things that stay just in theory, it's good, but it's not the best. And it's not what musicians today need, because we need to apply the things and to search for solutions. And at the same time, the podcast is new. As I said, 2 months, 3 months, and it's new for me and it's new for you. So the community that I'm building with this podcast, the people which are listening, people which are writing to me. And because of that, of course, things start happening. So people become interested, even people you would never expect. And I start receiving feedback. And let me tell you this, every word that I receive is so important. And not word, gesture, question, message, reaction when people asked about the podcast or talked about the podcast. And I listen to all very carefully, because I care a lot about what the listeners think and what the listeners want to hear. And, you know, for me to adapt the podcast and to adapt the content I'm making. And it's funny because many of the listeners are friends and colleagues, which means we start talking about our work and about the things that happened to us in ways we didn't before. And this is also something new for me. For example, if I go to play in an orchestra as a guest, and I mean, we always talk about, I don't know, percussion or the concert or these projects or this trouble or this instrument. And now we are talking about the podcast. And a person is saying, hey, how is the podcast doing? I listened to the last episode and I think it was great. And, you know, and it started a new way of communicating with people and even with good colleagues that I know from a long time. So today I decided I want to stop, to take a break, but not taking a break, but looking back and make a summary. So put the ideas together, what I learned doing this podcast and what could I and what can I take out from the podcast and all the information that I've been talking about and make like a list of things that are for me the most important things that I learned. And I would really like to talk about this not with my own words and not from the book Music and Emotions. So I would like to try to reach you in another way. So today I want to talk to you about the five biggest lessons I am learning from doing this podcast. Not only from recording the episodes, but also, as I said, from talking to people, receiving feedback, and being part of all the new things that have started happening around this project since March. And these are five ideas that keep appearing again and again, whether I am talking to guests, colleagues, friends, or listeners. I believe these are five things you need to know if you want to start thinking about music, your career, and your relationship with music from a different perspective. Some of these ideas may feel familiar and some may feel uncomfortable, but all of them have helped me understand myself better as a musician. And today I want to share them with you. So the first idea, and one of the most important, and this is why I started doing this podcast. First idea is how we feel is extremely important. How we feel, how do you feel making music? How do you feel as an artist is extremely important. What we feel needs to be heard and needs to have a place in our lives. And for musicians, it's just as important as technical progress. What you feel, your inner world, the way you talk to yourself, the voice in your head that talks to you, has a huge influence on how you play, on how you practice, and especially on how you talk to yourself and what you believe you are. So what do you think you are? And the answer to this question is, how do you talk to yourself? There is a voice inside you that is talking and telling you how you are. And I would say in 95%, it's not true. This voice is not talking the truth to you. We all have an idea of who we are. And very often that idea is cruel because we talk to ourselves as if we were worthless. And it happened to me, and I know it happens to you in great amount or less, but there is always a time when we tell ourselves we are not worth, we are not enough, we are not good enough, we cannot do this. And when I started studying in Germany, I compared myself to my colleagues all the time. I talked, the first episode of the InnoTech podcast is all about this. So there was a voice in my head telling me constantly that what I was doing was wrong, that it was not enough, and my colleagues were better. So not giving space to what we feel and think, the emotions, the thoughts that we have, because it is often a taboo in music, in the music world, and because many people consider it's a waste of time, has very real consequences, such as performance anxiety, stage fright, or even being unable to perform. And this would take you apart from your music, because you want to do music, and if you don't take care of all the things you have to take care about music, like studying your instrument, or progressing in your instruments and your voice and your composition skills. If you don't take care of how you feel, it's the same. You are going to see the lack of attention on this aspect. And this voice is so important, our inner voice. And we create a long list of terrible things that we tell ourselves because we cannot play the way we want to play. I really experienced strong stage fright, performance anxiety. And I still do in a less amount. And in 2016, when I arrived in Germany, I noticed this. And I noticed there was a voice in my head telling me that I'm not enough and I'm not good. And then I started to a therapy process, which helped me take path to heal this and to understand what was going on in my head. So recognizing that voice is essential if we want to understand why sometimes things do not work. And this is beside how good in your instrument you are, how good you play, how many hours do you play. This is about what you think and what you feel and the impact that these things have in your life as a musician. The second point, number two, and now I want to take a weight off your shoulders right now. And I tell you, the second thing is you are not alone in what you feel. It's not strange to feel like a failure or to have doubts before going on stage. It's not strange to feel the way you feel. You are not the only one feeling this. Every musician experienced this. Every single one. Maybe more, maybe less. The problem is that nobody talks about it. So you keep it to yourself because there is no place where you can go and talk openly about what you feel. That's why you think you are strange. That's why you think you don't belong to this world of music. And of course, very few teachers address this topic. And honestly, in my experience, most of them focus on technique and on helping you move forward in your career. But to talk about how you feel and to give space to this and how important is what you feel and how can you perform. And these things are so close together, you know. So allow yourself now to feel some relief because you are not alone in a world of perfect musicians. And I received this feedback from a listener to the podcast who told me, great that you're talking about this because I thought I was alone in a world of perfection. I was the one playing bad or feeling nervous or performance anxiety in a world of people that do everything well. Everything great. And this is not true because we are all dealing with these things, but in different ways. And if we don't understand how important and how much impact has the act of going on stage and play an instrument and play music, if we don't understand this, it's impossible to live with it in a peaceful way. Understanding it means taking care of the things you have to take care. And one is your instrument, two is your career. Not in that order, but I want to say, and one is your emotional and psychological aspect. What do you feel? What do you think? How do you feel doing it? Number three is about understanding that making music and building a career are not the same thing. And I talked a whole episode about it. So when we realize that we are constantly playing for someone else, for another person to approve us, support us, or give us a position, we start to understand the difference. And building a career is great. I wish everybody has a great career in music and get more concerts and more money and more opportunities. But the driving force should always be making music and not building a career. If you concentrate yourself in making music, in connect yourself with the sound and to express what you have to say through sounds and through your instruments, you have more chances of building a greater career because people are going to see you, people are going to hear you. If I may pick someone to play with me or be part of a project, I want to have someone who is deeply involved with the music and not someone which is only looking for opportunities to grow in the career, no matter what. So the more we focus on making music, it's the more we will grow in our careers. And never the other way around. And this does not only happen while you're studying music. For example, I don't know, when someone invites you to join a project, whether it is an orchestra or ensemble or anything else. The first thing that happens is that you feel happy, very happy because someone invited you. I call this, it's like flames, like fire inside you that said, yes, I got invited. And the second thing that happens is fear and insecurity. So, and the question pops up and said, can I do it well? Were they happy with me? Are they going to be happy with me? Are they going to call me again? Am I going to be... am I going to have another project because of this? And notice that all of this happens long before you start thinking rationally about the project itself. It's like a system that pops up and it's like you are very happy and then you are like all these insecurities and all these questions that acts like a system. And of course you want to do a good job. Of course you want to play well. Of course you want to your contribution to be useful, and in the best case you want them to call you again. But being called again cannot be the reason for your movement. You want to connect with the music you have to make in that project. And no matter which is the project, you want to connect with this music. You want to see how can you do your greatest with this music. And it doesn't, in my case, it doesn't matter if it's new music, if it's rock music, if it's orchestral music, if it's improvised music. You want to do the best with the music you have to work with at that moment. And this being called again should be a consequence of connecting with the music. So you connect with your music a lot, the most you can, and then things happen. And then you have the opportunities, and then they will call you again. And for sure, they will call you again. Number four is the importance of starting to ask yourself, why do you play? And what kind of performer you are? Because all of our musical actions are connected to our intention. For example, if I play so I do not make mistakes, or I do not make mistakes in those passages where I believe I must not make mistakes. So I practiced that way. I practiced in order not to make mistakes. And I listened that way. So what do I listen? I listen for mistakes. I listen to the person who is playing. Where is he or she going to fail? And I only criticize the performance. And I become... that way, I become this people, this person who is looking for errors and mistakes. And usually these patterns makes me look only for mistakes also in other people and use them as a reason why something did not work. For example, this person is like that. So that's why we cannot have a good relationship. I'm always looking what are the other people doing wrong. And this wrong is because I think it's wrong, but I cannot accept that people are how they are. So she's like that, he's like that, and that's why the relationship doesn't work, or it work the way it does. So when you start asking yourself why you play, you will recognize two things. The first is that you probably do not have an answer. You don't have a clue why you play. And you don't know why, for what, or for whom you play. So you are playing, but why are you playing? And the second, and this requires a little deeper investigation, is that for a long time you may have been playing to be accepted, to achieve something bigger in your career, or so that a certain person, let's say a teacher, colleague, jury member, likes what you do and accepts you. And as you already know, we talked about this here, this is part of building a career. And it is good to be aware of it and to understand that we are not connected to the musical act itself. So ask you, why do you play? And look, which is the answer. And the last of the points of today, this is number five. And this is really, it's also for me a revelation. It's also for me doing this podcast and talking to the people I talked and the people I'm going to talk. It's appeared this, let's say, this message And this is everything is still to be made. Everything is still to be made. If there is one thing I've learned during these last 3 months making this podcast and interviewed the amazing guests that I have, is this: nobody, absolutely nobody, is going to give you permission to launch your idea, your project, or whatever belongs to you. In some way, we are all, me as well, we are all waiting for that permission because of the same thing we talked about before. We are used to play for someone else. We are used to it. We learned it. Our teachers taught this. We are educated to believe that someone always has to give us approval before we do something. And that strange, uncomfortable, unsettling feeling you get when you start doing something, that feeling that you are doing something wrong, or that voice that tells you, maybe don't do it, you don't need it, no, or see, nobody needs this. That feeling is the price you pay for doing something for yourself without waiting for someone else's permission. And hold on, this is very important. So the guilt you feel because you started doing something, or let's say the guilt or the insecurity you feel when you started doing something else, is the price to pay because you are doing it and you're not waiting for someone to tell you, do it. Yeah, you can do it. It's good. It's bad. No, it's like the tax you have to pay. And the truth is, it is very difficult to start an idea, to start a project or anything else without feeling insecure or full of doubts. And I mean, if you're studying, you are always waiting for, and you always need the approval of your teacher. If you can play the exam, if you go further in your studies, you can pass the year, play this concert, play this audition, and so on. But when you go out and real life starts, real musical life starts, it's very difficult to start a project because you are not going to have this approval. And it's hard. It's hard. And I tell you how it works. The most important thing, you have to start small. You have to start very small. One idea, bringing something into the light that has been inside you. I don't know, let's say a song, let's say a composition, let's say a video, a picture of yourself doing something, a sentence, a poem, anything. I mean, anything you do with art has to see the light first in small amount. Don't wait to be successful. Don't wait for the feedback if you don't have something else. Patricia said last episode, if you want to play a concert, make first a playlist. And once it comes into the light, it starts taking its own path while you keep worrying and doubting. And this is the most amazing thing. If you started this thing, this project, this idea, starts his own path. And of course you keep working on it, but there are so many things that happens that you cannot control, and they happened because you started it. And when it survives over time, it starts evolving to places you never expected. And the feeling is still there, but it becomes smaller. You still feel, is this good? Is this bad? Should I keep going or not? And keep this idea. And you see that it's going to make an evolution you didn't expect. And you don't know why. Because you realize that you have the power to make whatever decision you want for your project. You have the power. So you didn't wait for recognitions and you said, I'm going for it all in. And now you have the power to say, okay, I stop it. I started the podcast with one episode a week and then said, okay, wait, no, I need more time. I need more time to process it. I need more time to think about it. Now I'm seeing maybe I need 2 weeks for every episode. And this doesn't mean anything. It's still there. It's still there. It's still rowing. And as I said, you have the decision in your hand. You can continue. You can change direction. You can transform it. You can even delete it completely and start again. You can do that today. Now, you don't need permission. It's one button. And just like that, it's gone. So you can do that today. You don't need permission. It's only one button. And just like that, it's gone. So these are the things, the five things I wanted to share with you today. Five very, very important things for me and hopefully for you after listening to this podcast. And each one of them could easily be an episode on its own. I know, because there is much more to say, much more to explore and much more to understand. And I always like to give an example of what happened to me, like a real example, so you can address with your life and you can compare how is in your case. And for me, the important thing is simply knowing that these things exist. So these 5 points, they exist. And they are not small topics. They are fundamental and very deep questions that influence the way we make music, the way we build a career, and the way we relate to ourselves as a musician. So that is why I believe it is important that we talk about them. And even more important that we continue exploring them together. If you have any doubts, any questions, if you want to share your experience, I think this is part of the growth, the community, when you see that someone is living the same thing, when you see that you are not alone, that your case is like this and the case of someone else is also very similar to you. So let's keep it together. Thank you for listening and I will see you in the next episode. Take care to yourself. Bye-bye. If something in this episode resonated with you, I invite you to take a look at Mental Notes. The link is in the description. There you'll find texts, videos, and short resources that can help you explore these ideas further, and most importantly, space to talk about them. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me. See you next time. Take care of yourself. Bye.